I strode out of the shop and handed out the coffees. As we walked, I told May what Alina had said. She smiled, but it was sad.
She's a nice girl, but I think she should keep the luck for herself. Her life is hardly an easy one.
May continued to talk about her friend, but I zoned out, focusing instead on the situation around us. May didn't notice, but we were slowly being surrounded by ogres. A bus pulled up to a stop about 10 feet in front of us, and I hurried May and Levi forward.
Onto the bus, now.
It's going in the wrong direction.
Then May looked behind us. She leapt onto the bus, and I shoved Levi on behind her.
Go. Levi, take her to where Ophelia dropped us when you get what you need. Get her back to Riley, understand? No matter what.
I handed them the bag of weapons, taking two out for myself. A short sword and an oversized curved skinning knife I could hold with a fist.
Wait, what are you doing?
Buying you time. Keep her safe, Levi.
The look on his face shifted from fear to determination.
I will.
The bus door shut and the driver pulled away.
Well, well. A wolf in sheep's clothing, perhaps?
I turned to face a black-skinned ogre who stood at least 8 feet tall. No, a wolf in wolf's clothing.
My name is Pick, and I am the leader of this territory.
The ogre that I'd pegged at 8 feet took a few more steps in my direction. Make that 9 feet tall, and easily 3 feet across the shoulders. He pulled a large sword from his back. The blade split at the handle into two blades. He took a lazy swing with it in my direction, but I didn't flinch. I knew a bluff move when I saw one.
Are you not going to introduce yourself?
I shrugged and did a lazy loop with my own weapon.
Nah, you win. Your sword is bigger than mine.
The other ogres all laughed. Dick humor, nothing new there. Pick grinned.
I almost hate to kill you with a sense of humor like that. But you were with one of our females. That is not allowed. I would hate to see what a cross-species wolf ogre would look like. Besides weak.
I shrugged.
Accidental meeting. I wanted on the bus. She beat me to it. Besides, I thought you killed everything that moved in your territory.
We do. But we have uses for some supernaturals. As we have uses for some humans.
He snapped his fingers, and several police officers slid between the ogre ranks, guns raised. Shit running down my legs couldn't have been more shocking. Riley had told me the ogres had humans working for them, but it was still surprising. A part of my brain flat out revolted at what was happening. I mean, we were in Seattle, in broad daylight, humans walking past us like this wasn't even happening. What the actual fuck was going on?
You wouldn't want to hurt the nice police officers now, would you? You're probably one of those supernaturals who tries to keep them alive, aren't you?
The other ogres laughed, but they backed off, giving the cops free rein to move in. I didn't get a chance to try and talk my way out of things. The first cop squeezed off a round that slammed into my belly. I dropped to my knees, shock making me slow for two reasons. One was the simple fact that the cops were so under the ogre's control that they would shoot without just cause. Two, that the gun actually worked around this many supernaturals, which took my brain to a place I didn't want to go. What if the weapons Riley and I thought we'd destroyed had survived? If those guns were now in the hands of the ogre tribe here in Seattle, that would be bad on so, so many levels. Three more shots ripped through the air before I could move. One hitting me in the heart. The second in the hip. The third. I blanked out before I could tell where it struck. Lights out for Liam. Darkness and pain were all my brain could register as I came around. That, and I was folded over on myself, my head shoved between my knees like some sort of twisted yoga pose. Slowly, my senses came back online. The smell of rotting food, shit, and vomit slithered up my nose, and I sneezed. But that only cleared my sinuses for more of the scent. My back cracked and popped, vertebrae aching as I sat up. Blinking, I looked around, tried to get my bearings as my nose took in the strong scent of ogre under all the other scents. That froze me where I was, stilling the breath in my lungs. Maybe they hadn't seen me yet. Maybe I had a chance to get the drop on them. There were walls around me, dark blue and close enough that I could reach out and touch them if I'd wanted. My brain couldn't seem to grasp where I was, only that the smell of ogre meant danger. I pulled myself up slowly, and under my ass, something shifted like sand and rocks giving way. I looked down at the back of the head of the ogre May had killed. Blood and gray matter had coagulated underneath me. I grimaced at the smell, and the memories came back to me, the past few hours slipping back into place. Pick and his mob had stuffed me in the same dumpster as Buck, the bastard that had tried to become May's pimp. Nice. I grabbed the edge of the dumpster and heaved myself out. There were no other ogres besides the dead one, which was a small blessing. I gave myself a full body shake, and three of the four bullets that had been shot into me fell to the cement. My head throbbed with a dull ache, like a hangover from ogre beer. I put a hand to my right temple just as the bullet pushed its way out. I stared at it. Well, that answers that question. Apparently, I could take a hit to the head. I wasn't sure I wanted to repeat the experience. I took a look at the skyline, but couldn't see the sun past the buildings that rose around me. It didn't feel like much time had passed, but that could just be the injury to my head. I shook myself again and did a slow turn. Pick and his buddies had taken my two weapons, and I was covered in filth from the dumpster. Not just blood and ogre brains, but rotten food and spoiled meat. I felt around for my back pocket, looking for my leather wallet. My fingers found nothing but empty space. I scrubbed both hands over my face, despite the grime that covered both face and hands. I needed to think this through, and fast. If I could shift into my wolf form, I could cover the distance to Redmond in no time, catch up to Levi and May, and get the three of us the fuck out of here. Right now, Pick and his mob thought I was dead, which meant they wouldn't be looking for me. As long as I could keep clear of them, I had the upper hand. I closed my eyes and reluctantly tried to call my wolf forward. How the hell I was going to shift while I was using Ferris's body was beyond me. Would I be a white wolf now instead of the black shaggy beast I'd been before? Would my eyes be bluer yet? Would I be smaller, like a leaner version of what I'd known to be my wolf? The questions flowed through me in rapid succession, over and over. Meanwhile, my wolf ignored me, essentially curling up in the corner of my mind and going to sleep. What the hell? Shithead. So much for calling on innate abilities. Warily, I made my way to the edge of the alley and peered out. Not an ogre in sight, nor any scent on the wind. I didn't know anyone in Seattle, not even old FBI contacts. The bakery. Maybe there was someone there who could help me. I went into the bakery, the smell of sugar and fresh baked bread making my stomach grumble loudly. The coffee had been too long ago. I caught a glimpse of myself in the mirrored glass of the display cases. I was covered in filth, blood smeared my white shirt in several places, and my head was sticky with blood. Not exactly the look you want in a guy around your baked goods. I looked to the surprised eyes of the brown-haired cashier. You said you were May's friend. Is that true?
What happened to you?
Can we speak in private? She waved a hand behind her.
Diana, can you come run the cash register?
Another woman, who looked to be in her late 30s, came out of the back, took one look at me, and then pointedly down at the cash register. I followed May's friend into the back of the bakery. She pointed at a chair.
Sit. You look like you're going to fall over.
Elena, right?
Yes. What happened? Should I call the police or maybe an ambulance?
No police. The police did this to me. Look, I need to get to May's apartment, but...
You don't know where it is?
Right. They took everything I had on me, including my wallet. I knew what I sounded like. A scam artist. I lost my wallet. I just need to get to a friend's place and I'll pay you back. Just loan me a few bucks. I'm getting paid later this week. I'd heard it all and then some. I could only hope that Alina was a bit naive to the ways of the world, because there was no way I could get to Redmond and find May and Levi without her help. Not if I was going to stay ahead of Pick and his mob. I bit back every ounce of pride I had.
Can you
give me a ride?
Alina's eyebrows shot to her hairline.
No, my husband wouldn't like that. It wouldn't be proper.
She reached over the desk and grabbed a set of keys.
But because you are May's friend, you can take my car.
Okay, so beyond naive? Was that even a thing? Or maybe she was just being that kind-hearted. Kindness to that level was going to get her in trouble at some point. May had been right about that. She gave me the keys.
Park it at the back of May's apartment and leave the keys inside the muffler. I'll get a ride out after work and pick it up.
Thank you.
Just help her. Obviously, you're having a rough day, and I can tell you are trying to help her in your own way. I can sense these things, you know.
She scribbled something on a pad of paper and tore the top sheet off, handing it to me.
May's address.
She pointed to the back door.
Brown hatchback. It isn't much, but it'll get you there.
Again, thank you.
Just help her. She deserves a little happiness.
I wondered as I walked out the door at the kind of person who would hand over keys to their vehicle to a veritable stranger, on their word that they were going to help one of their friends. I hoped that helping me didn't get her into trouble with the ogre mob, and I hoped she managed to hold on to that willingness to help those around her. It would be a shame to see her lose that. The world needed more people like Alina. The age of the vehicle was in my favor. Anything newer, and I wasn't sure it would have started for me. I followed the signs that directed me toward Redmond without a single ogre coming into view. Two cop cars passed me, but they didn't so much as look in my direction. I glanced several times at the piece of paper May's friend had written on, making sure I had the directions right. The apartment building was on Heritage Street, fourth floor up. 35 minutes later, I did a slow drive by May's building. Two ogres were posing as doormen at the front. Fuck it all. There was no way I could get past two ogres on my own without them alerting the rest of their group. I did a loop around the block to get a look at the back of the building. There it was, a back door. Another ogre in front of it, but only one. That was going to be my best shot, unless... I backed up and parked a half block away from the east side of the building. Balconies ran all the way up this side of the building, and below them all was a small service door. The service door probably had an ogre lurking around somewhere. I wasn't going to bank on them not covering all their bases. As Ophelia had pointed out, these ogres weren't stupid. The humans with the ogres had guns that could pin me down, that much I knew. And if they all figured out that I was a guardian, I had no doubt they'd figured out that killing me would take a simple removing of my head from my shoulders. All that meant nothing at the moment. I needed to get in that damn apartment and either get Levi and May out or wait for them to show. No matter which, it started with me being stealthy and quiet. Riley would have laughed her ass off at me. Stealthy and quiet were not something either of us did well on a good day. I stepped out of the hatchback. I shut the door and slid around the back, placing the keys inside the half-rotted-out muffler. It wasn't a bad hiding spot. Unless you were looking to fix the little car, you might not even notice the muffler, never mind the keys inside of it. I approached the building, drawing in deep breaths, scenting the air with each step. Ogre. The musk was heavy on the cool breeze, but no scent of May or Levi on this side of the building. As I drew closer to the service door, a cop stood up from where he'd been sitting in the stairwell.
Excuse me, I'm turned around here.
I used Levi's excuse. The cop shook his head.
Front door's around there.
He thumbed to one side, and I kept closing the distance between us.
Which way?
I tipped my head as if I hadn't heard him, or was too stupid to understand a simple sentence.
Fucking druggies. Get out of here.
He shooed at me with both hands like a stray dog. I grinned, and he went pale. I closed the distance between us in a single leap.
Huh?
His face drew a startled look, and then he was under me as I thumped a fist into his jaw. The crack of bone didn't bother me. I recognized him. He'd been the one to shoot me in the heart. I yanked the gun from his belt and turned it over in one hand while I strangled him with the other. The gun was not exactly like the ones Riley and I destroyed, but it was obvious there was magic about it. I flipped open the chamber with my thumb and peered in. There were small, round balls of steel, and behind them was a glittering, rolling twist of green magic. It looked like bullets were propelled through the barrel by magic, not gunpowder. Fuck, it was brilliant and terrifying. Magical guns were not something this world currently needed, or ever needed for that matter. I wasn't going to leave it behind. I tucked the weapon into the back of my jeans and frisked the cop. I took a baton off him and his radio. I clipped the radio to my shirt, and it immediately crackled and blipped off. Shit. I yanked it off and threw it to the ground, where it bounced once and then came back to life. Piece of shit technology. I found one more magazine of ammo on the cop and tucked it into the back pocket of my jeans. I flipped him over and used his handcuffs on him and a piece of his shirt to gag him. He was out cold at the moment, but that could change. I dragged him away from the stairwell and stuffed him into a large hydrangea bush that grew high above my head. Yes, I know what kind of flowering bush it was, because it was a memory of Ferris's. I shook my head and went down the stairwell. Behind me, the radio came to life.
Bartlett, status. Any sign of Mayor the Kid?
I broke off a branch from the bush and walked over to the radio. I managed to depress the call button, stretched as far from it as I could be.
Negative.
What the fuck, Bart? You get a cold?
A frog in my throat.
The radio went quiet, and my ears perked at the sound of feet coming around the corner of the building. Fucking Lady Luck was not on my side, the fickle bitch. I flattened my back against the door and kept the gun steady in my right hand. Left. I was a lefty, but Ferris was right-handed. I switched hands and waited, irritation flowing through me. I leaned out to see another cop peering into the hydrangea bush. The cop I'd stuffed in there had wiggled out a single leg, which kept his buddy distracted.
Fuck. Bartlett. What happened?
He bent over his buddy, and I slipped up behind him. I tucked the gun away and pulled the baton out. I slid it in front of his neck and pulled back with a sharp yank. He fought the baton, but I held it easily. These cops might have guns that could work against me, but the shits didn't have a chance against my speed and strength, even if my wolf was currently ignoring me. Slowly, he relaxed. Maybe slumped is a better word. And I released the choke before his heart stopped. I didn't really want to kill them. I'd been one of them not so long ago, and I couldn't help wanting to believe they could change for the better. I dropped him next to Bartlett and didn't bother to tie him up. I did, however, take his gun and extra ammo, along with the flak jacket he wore, which I slipped over my torn-up shirt. Things were going downhill. I might as well try to be as prepared as I could. I ran to the side door and didn't slow. I slammed my foot onto the door handle, and the steel door gave way. So much for stealthy and quiet. Inside the stairwell, I did a quick sweep, holding both guns out. I didn't want to admit it, but having a gun in both hands felt more natural than any sword, any crossbow. This was how I'd been trained to deal with bad guys. The radio squawked to life again behind me on the grass.
What the fuck are you boys doing back there?
I looked over my shoulder and then approached the radio. Using the baton, I pressed the call button.
In pursuit of suspects, north end of Heritage.
Affirmative. Backup is on its way.
Bingo. I'd sent them on a goose chase, but that would only take me so far. Back in the stairwell, I swept up the stairs, guns held at the ready, fully expecting a herd of ogres to rush me. I made it all the way to the fourth floor before I heard any sound of pursuit.
Where'd he go? Only way to go is up, you dumb shit.
I slipped through the door that led onto May's level. The two voices had sounded like Bartlett and his friend. So, the boys were awake then. Not that I was much worried about them. They would be easily dealt with again, if needed. I looked down one length of the hall, then the other. No ogres here, but there was a faint scent of May and Levi, which made me perk up. I followed my quarry down to room 456, which, according to Alina's paper, was May's apartment. May, it's Liam. There was no answer. I considered breaking the door down, but decided against it. I drew in a breath, picking up on their scents and working backward to the elevators. There it was. They'd backtracked in order to throw the other ogres off. But my nose wouldn't be fooled. I wonder if May knew that. I pressed the call button for the elevator. They would have gone up, away from the ogres looking for them. I pulled both guns and trained them on the elevator as the doors slid open, just in case. The elevator was empty, but still, I hesitated for a brief moment before getting on. I had to believe it wouldn't fall out from under me. Then again, the stairwell was likely flooding with ogres. They wouldn't expect me to take the lift. The door slid shut. I held still in the middle of the elevator, legs braced apart and guns still in my hands. I hit all the buttons for the floors above me, all seven. Each floor opened up and I peered out, taking a breath of air. No May or Levi on the floor above, or the next, but on the seventh floor, Levi's scent tugged at me. What the hell are you two nincompoops doing splitting up? I was pissed that I had to go after Levi first. Much as I didn't want the kid to get hurt, I needed May to get back to Riley. If I had to leave Levi behind and come back to Seattle to get him, I would. Yet the wolf in me drove forward. The kid was part of my pack now, and you didn't leave pack members behind, even when they were being idiots. I hurried down the hall, following the smell of the kid until I stopped in front of a cleaning cabinet. I tucked one gun into my belt and jerked the door open. Levi stood there, hands out, water dripping from them.
Shit! Liam, you found me!
He lowered his hands. Wasn't a game of hide-and-seek, kid. I grabbed him by the shoulder and yanked him out. Where is May?
I don't know. She pushed me in here and told me to hide.
I tipped my head for him to follow me, and we hurried back to the elevator. I hit the call button. The problem with elevators was when they weren't slow, they were often full. In this particular case, I wished the damn thing had only been slow and not full of three seriously pissed off bloodthirsty ogres. What I didn't expect was Levi stepping in front of me, his hands outstretched, water dripping from them. The ogres laughed, and I fully admit I almost did too. Until the water shot so hard from the kid, he slammed backwards into me with the force of it. I held him as water flooded the elevator, like a tiny aquarium filled with floating ogres who apparently hadn't thought the kid was a threat. Hell, I hadn't thought the kid was a threat. They swam forward as if they were going to get out, but they couldn't break through the water. Levi held his hands out, his arms shaking.
I don't know how long I can hold them.
I lifted my gun and squeezed off three quick rounds, taking each ogre in the head. Red flowering blooms filled the water.
Why did you do that? I had them.
Levi immediately contradicted himself. I lowered the gun, thinking only of the innocence I'd had to take from Pamela so young, asking her to kill me, to give Riley time to give birth to Marcella in safety. Asking Pamela to fight at our sides while she was still only a child, when she should have been thinking about going to school dances, not thinking about how to kill her enemies, how to train so that she could help us stop demons, or what the best way was to fend off those who wanted to manipulate and use her for her incredible strength. Trust me, you don't want to have lives on your conscience any sooner than you have to, because the day will come when you will have to. I just hope it isn't today. I strode forward, reached into the elevator, and hit the full stop button. The door slid shut as I stepped away. That's only going to buy us a little time. How did you figure out the water, and what happened that you and May split up?
The ogres followed us, and we got off at the next bus stop because May said she had a place we could hide for a bit. From what she told me, she's been hiding out from them for longer than just a few days. A few months, at least. They caught her and her son a few weeks ago. He wasn't very old, Liam.
I pushed away the sympathetic grief that came from those words. No time for feelings. No time for emotions.
There was an ogre waiting for us at the hiding place. He didn't seem all that mean, though, seeing as May kissed him, and he told her to get to her apartment. He said he had been able to convince the council that she wasn't in the city, but he was sure Pick knew he was lying. And then he told her that she needed to get out of town to get as far away as she could.
So she has one person on her side?
I think so. He gave her a set of keys and we took his truck here, but there were already ogres on the front door, so we slipped in the back. They hadn't covered it yet.
That made sense. Cops were always late to the game when it wasn't urgent. And then?
We went to her apartment and she got her amulet. She said she had her son's ashes put into the amber, and she grabbed a small bag of things. That's when we heard the other ogres. Or she did. To be fair.
He shrugged his thin shoulders, and I gestured for him to get behind me. We were at the door to the stairwell. I pressed my ear against it, and nothing came back. No echo of feet or heartbeats. I put a finger to my lips and eased the door open. The smell of ogres was thick like smoke, but there weren't any in the stairwell. It hadn't been long since they'd been there, though. I slid in, and Levi followed. I whipped around, glaring.
Sorry.
I had to restrain myself from shaking him. I ran up the stairs, light on my feet. Levi clomped up behind me, breathing hard. I struggled not to growl at him. That bothered my wolf more than me asking for a shift in form. The wolf in me wanted me to show patience to a pup, to show him how to hunt and lead. Again, this was not the time for that. Later, if we made it out of this alive. I opened the door on the 8th floor. No scent of May. I shook my head, knowing we were wasting time. Where would I go if I were being driven through the building? High. I'd go for high ground. We're going to the roof.
How do you know she's there?
I don't, but it's where I would go. She might be able to scale down a side they aren't watching, or if the buildings are close enough, she might be able to jump between them.
The buildings are way too far apart. There's no way she could jump them.
I shook my head and kept my mouth shut. Levi was about to be fully inducted into the world of the supernatural. It was better he saw things for himself rather than only be told. Most of what our world offered was hard to believe on a good day, never mind on a day when you'd been shot at, chased, and learned you could shoot water out of the palm of your hands. I raced up the stairs, letting Levi come at his own pace, which was a mistake. He was a floor below me when the ogres burst out right behind him. I spun and saw the ogres as they launched toward him. I lifted my gun and squeezed off a round, nailing the ogre closest to Levi in the shoulder. The big brute spun backward and took out the ogres behind him like a big fat set of dominoes.
Hurry your ass up, kid!
Suddenly, Levi was beside me, step for step. His face was white as a new sheet of paper, and his breathing was ragged enough that I figured if he hyperventilated much more, he'd pass out. We reached the top floor, just as his legs wobbled and his eyes rolled back in his head. I caught him around the waist and helped him through the door. I set him off to one side, turned, and threw the deadbolt lock on the door. Next to Levi was a large concrete planter. I tucked my gun behind my belt and grabbed the edges of the planter. Maybe it would give us an extra few minutes, if we were lucky. As I grabbed the edge of the planter, I noticed a handprint on it, bright red and wet. The scent of May hit me, along with the smell of blood. That was not good. She was injured and stumbling. I could almost see her fall out of the door and use the planter to right herself before hurrying onward. I dragged the concrete planter across the roof's gravel. I got it against the door just as the first blow hit the steel. I grabbed Levi's arm and hauled him up.
Time to find May and get the fuck out of here.
He said nothing as I pulled him along behind me. After a few steps, he got his feet under him and shook me off.
I'm good. I'm good.
I said nothing, only kept my attention on the smell of a wounded May.
May!
There was no answer. Of course not. Her scent trail led to the edge of the roof. I looked over the edge, searching for more bloody handprints.
Did she jump?
There were no prints that showed her scaling down the building. Not like you're thinking. I pointed to the building across from us. It was about 4 floors lower than the one we stood on, and easily 40 feet away. 40. There was a scuff in the roof that looked like hands and feet imprints to me.
She jumped across there. And we have to follow her.
Are you crazy?
No, I'm not. But I can't leave you here because these assholes know you're with me and May now. And that does not bode well for you.
I can hide. I'm good at hiding.
This isn't like your dad, Levi. Hiding won't work. They've got your scent.
He swallowed hard.
Then how are we going to get across there?
I grinned at him, the wolf in me surfacing a little, liking that what I was going to say would make him squirm.
Remember the zoo fence?
Are you serious?
I pointed at the far building.
I'm gonna boost you. Get back there, close to the door, and then run at me with all you've got. I can throw you across, but only if you're going full speed.
You're serious?
Behind him, the door echoed his sentiment.
Look, no time to argue. You've got elemental blood in you. You're tougher than you look, so this isn't gonna hurt like you think. Trust me.
In other words, hurry your ass up, kid. I need you to trust me or we're both going to die, and I can't leave you here and just save myself. A pack doesn't work like that. He backed away about 20 feet, and I crouched at the edge of the roof.
Get your foot on my leg here, where my hands are. We've got one shot at this.
Levi's jaws tightened, and a wave of determination seemed to roll over him. He bolted toward me, timing his step and jump just right. As his foot touched down on my leg and cupped hands, I stood. Using the strength in my limbs to vault him over my head. I didn't even look to see if he made it. He was free-flying now. I turned and backed up, prepping my own run. The door behind me burst open, and the ogres spilled onto the roof like a disturbed ant nest as they hurried to get around me. Fuck, I couldn't even count how many there were, but Pick was there at the front of the group.
I thought we killed you.
Surprise. I flipped them off and ran for the ledge of the building. I got my foot on the edge and pushed off as hard as I could, arms pinwheeling as if that somehow would help me across the distance. I was hit twice in the back and spun sideways as I fell. Grateful for the flak jacket, though I knew it wasn't going to help me if I hit the ground from this height. I saw a flash of Levi's big eyes as I missed the roof of the building he stood on. Calm flowed through me. I wasn't done yet. I reached out and caught the window ledge as it whipped by me. My body snapped hard with a sudden stop, yanking my shoulder from its socket. I slammed into the brick building so hard, the blow knocked the wind out of me. More gunshots rattled off the building around me, the impacts spraying concrete and dust as the bullets bit into the wall. Hanging there, I pulled one gun and aimed it at an ogre standing at the edge of the far building. I pulled the trigger. He fell over the side. I shot two more before they backed off. I tucked the gun away and climbed up the wall, using the divots from the projectiles as well as the window ledge. Difficult, with one good arm, but manageable. I got to the top and flopped over the edge. I put my shoulder back in its socket, hard and fast, before I could think about how much it was going to hurt. The tendons and muscles were already knitting back together. At least I had that much going for me. Levi squatted beside me.
Holy shit! You hit them! How come they couldn't hit you and you could hit them?
Because they can't aim worth shit, and I'm a marksman, top of my class. I sat up, letting my body have a minute to heal before I got up. Ferris's body would have some new scars after this little adventure. I shook my head, more rattled than I cared to admit. I drew in a breath, finding May's scent easily. She went this way. I stood and broke into a jog, following May to the other side of the building. I backed up a few steps. She'd backtracked again. I followed her backwards. Clever girl. I ran back to the edge of the building. All the ogres were gone from May's apartment building and currently swarming across the street toward this one. My mind put the pieces together, and I couldn't help smiling.
May, you clever, clever ogre. I'm glad you're going to work with me and not against me.
Why would you say that?
I pointed at the blood spots and scuff marks.
'Cause she's damn smart. She leapt back to her apartment building after leading a scent trail to make it look like she hopped to the next one.
Oh, tell me we aren't jumping back.
All right, I won't tell you. But only because you already know it.
I grabbed him by the shoulder.
Ready?
If I say no, does that change anything?
Nope.
We dropped a solid 25 feet and ended up landing on the second floor. I tossed Levi and managed to land him on a larger balcony, right on a lounge chair that crumpled under the impact. I was able to land, so I ended up hanging from the same balcony, but this time, I was ready for the sudden stop and didn't pop either of my shoulders out. We slipped through a sliding glass door and into the apartment of an older gentleman who didn't even look up as we passed behind him. His eyes were glued to the TV. A hockey game was playing. To be that oblivious to the world around you, I wasn't sure if it was a blessing or a curse. We let ourselves out into the hallway, and I knew where we were headed. The backtrack method. If she stuck with it, we would find her at her apartment. I was sure of it. We made it to the fourth floor with no problem. Though we passed a trio of maintenance men as they headed toward the seventh floor and the jammed elevator. Levi and I shared a look, but said nothing. They were in for a shock when they got the elevator open and three wet, dead ogres tumbled out. Being human, all they would see were oversized men, but still, it was going to be a shock. The fourth floor was quiet and reeked of ogre, thick and heavy, centering around May's door. Again, I knew May was smarter than the average ogre. Under the layers of ogre scent, I picked out her signature smell and the blood that was uniquely hers. I knocked softly at her door. May, we lost them. Sweat dripped down May's face as she clutched at her middle.
I don't think I'm going to do you much good, Liam. They...
She spread her hands so I could see the wound in a quick second before she covered it. The view of internal organs and intestine was bad, but not insurmountable.
I've seen worse.
I stepped in, and Levi shut the door behind him, quietly this time. The kid was learning. I helped May back to her room and laid her on her bed. Around the apartment were signs that there had been a child, and not that long ago. The smell of milk on May made more sense now, too. The baby hadn't been gone long enough for her milk to entirely leave her. An empty crib, blankets folded on a change table, a basket of toys in one corner of the room. I didn't want to think about the possibility of Riley and me seeing the same emptiness. I shook my head.
Let me get a better look.
What? Are you a healer now, too?
No, but I'm trained for emergencies like this. I put my hands over hers. Let me see if we can stem some of the bleeding, at least.
You don't understand. They scrambled my guts. They know they'll be able to find me eventually, and I can't heal this. This is a mortal wound.
She put her hands over mine.
They know they've got me. This isn't the first time they've hurt me bad. They did something similar when my boy died. But they had Bly heal me.
I frowned and sat on the edge of the bed. What are you talking about? She grimaced, her lips twisting tightly until they bled of color.
They did this to show me that I have no one left who would stand with me. To show me that I am no longer of the tribe, and that I will be slowly killed and tortured as an outsider.
The ogre who helped you? I glanced at Levi, and he nodded.
He'll be dead by now. He was my boy's father. He's been helping me hide out, but this time they'll know he turned on them. They'll send a squad after him.
Fuck. I checked the clock. I had at best 35 hours before I was out of time. My mind skittered away from the possibility of not making it. I could leave May and try to find another female, but I already knew the truth. May was part of our pack now, to the end, which left me one path.
I have a few questions. How long can you survive like this?
May's eyes closed and her lips trembled.
Maybe 6 hours. I'll fall asleep in the next two, and then I'll just fade. Even if you could get me healed and away from here, they would follow. They will want to kill you all.
I shook my head. Why?
There is a prophecy. I was to be the one to raise the new leader, or a new nation of ogres. Pick. He kept me under his thumb, but I never gave him a child. It wasn't until Tool. He was the ogre you met, Levi. He and I...
You had the child.
Yes.
Her eyes filled with tears.
You had the child, and Pick killed him because he was a threat being raised by you. And now he wants you dead, because dead, you can't get pregnant with another child.
Even if I survived, I could not have another child. They scrambled my reproductive organs on purpose. They did this so I can't have more babies.
Holy fucking shit. They truly were monsters. Give me 10 minutes to think this through. I motioned for Levi to follow me into the other room.
Put a call into Riley, then set the phone on the counter and go sit with May.
You want it on speakerphone?
Levi's finger hovered over the send button.
No, I'll be able to hear her fine.
He did as I asked, setting the phone on the granite countertop. He hurried away back to May. And I waited as the phone rang and rang. For a moment, I thought Riley wouldn't answer. There was only one thing that would keep her from picking up. The babies.
Hello?
Riley.
Liam, tell me.
I found a female ogre who will come with me, but she's injured. And the ogres here, they're even worse than you realized.
I did not tell her about being shot in the head or leaping from buildings. That could come later when all was well and we were lying in bed together and laughing about the horrors we'd faced on our own and together.
They'll follow me if I bring her home to you and the babies. I need to finish them off. I need to make sure they can't come after us.
Well, how are you going to do that? Ophelia left you there, didn't she?
I gritted my teeth a moment before answering.
Yes, but there's another guardian here, if I can find him. I think he'll help me.
Liam, I trust you. Do it. The babies are fighters, you know that. They... Hurry, and I will keep them alive. It will do none of a fuck bucket of good if you bring her and the ogres follow. We'd lose too many people.
Gods, she was fierce in her beliefs, and it carried us all. Look, I'm going as fast as I can. I wished I could reach through the phone and touch her.
I know.
Is Doran there? She paused. And then the leader of the vampire nation came on.
Did you miss me, Liam, love?
I rolled my eyes. Doran, what do you know about a lion guardian?
Seriously? He's been missing for about 10 years. What? Holy shit. That's who you've got to help you?
Maybe. Tell me about him.
Well, he's an ass, like most guardians. But he's one of the good asses. Kind of like you. But hard to pin down.
In the background, there was a slap.
Ah.
I grinned, easily imagining Riley whacking him upside the head. As much as the vampire loved her, she saw him more like a wayward brother or cousin. What else?
Touchy damn tracker.
That's Huntress now to you.
Doran came back on.
Look, he's strong and fast and mean. He's a guardian. What do you want to know?
Does he have anything he was drawn to? A place he might want to go?
What the hell? Are you going to ask him on a date? I don't know, Liam. I know he was missing. That's about it. That and he had some weird talents, like I said.
You didn't say that.
Ah, I meant to. Not that I know what any of them are. Good luck, Wolf.
What an ass. Doran, even in the midst of chaos, couldn't seem to help himself from being difficult. I hit the end button, irritation flowing through me. The phone on the counter went dark. I closed my eyes, thinking. The guardian I'd released had headed north. Where would a lion go if he was set free? If I could find him. I would have someone I could arm against the ogres, someone who was strong enough to stand with me against them, which in turn would give me a better chance of success. Then again, I had an insider source in the other room. Maybe I could do this without involving Lion. I strode back into the bedroom. May, can you answer some questions? The apartment door burst open and I spun around, both guns raised. An ogre smeared with blood, half his body black-skinned, the other half swirled with purple streaks, fell to his knees.
Tool!
Great, just what I needed, a second wounded ogre. I held the guns on him. You sure, May?
Yes, help him, please.
She groaned as she tried to sit up. I tucked the guns away and went over to the male ogre, pointing at May to stay where she was. I slung one of the wounded ogre's arms over my shoulder and picked him up with relative ease. His eyes flicked over me, confusion filling them.
Wolf? I heard they shot you in the head.
I'm harder to kill than that. I lowered him to the bed next to May. She reached over and took his hands. I could see his wounds now. One arm was broken, the bone pushed through, and the meat of his side had been cut through as though with massive claws. Claws?
Shit, you ran into the lion, didn't you?
I grabbed an edge of the sheet and ripped it into strips, helping to bind up Tool. He worked with me, and within a few minutes, he was bandaged as good as we were going to get him.
How? You idiots! You let him out? He'll kill anything he sees. That's why we locked the fucker up in the first place.
Somehow, I doubted Tool here was getting the full story. But like any shitty leader, Pick played on his people's fears that Lion would kill them, even if he never would.
Where did you run into him? I need his help.
He won't help you. I'm surprised he didn't kill you. He's a guardian, you know.
Tool closed his eyes, and May smoothed the hand over his face as if she could ease his suffering. She would have been a good mom. Through her own pain, she fought to take his away.
Liam, we can't help you. Our mage is the only one who could heal us at this point, and she's being kept bound up. The same way I was before Tool helped me break free.
That got my attention. Why didn't you mention that before? She grimaced, and Tool put a hand on hers.
Because she makes Pick look like a pussycat. She's meaner than all the men combined. She only had a soft spot for May.
I leaned over them, a thought breaking through. Did she speak the prophecy? May's eyes flicked to mine, and she slowly nodded.
Yes.
Then we need her, more than just to heal you. She can convince the rest of the ogres, including Pick, to let you go. I ran a hand through my hair. I'm going to get her first. If I can bring her to you, then you two can be healed. Tool shook his head.
You'd have to go into the heart of Kerry Park.
Is the park twisted? I didn't even really know what I meant by twisted, but Tool nodded.
Bly is deep in the woods, hidden away, and she only comes out once in a while. There is a pool of water. You have to dive to the bottom to gain her attention.
His eyelids flickered. Whatever had been done to him hadn't just been from Lion. I could see several spots where he'd been shot. Okay, then I'll go to the pool and bring her out. He shook his head.
No, not okay. She hasn't appeared since May had the prophecy spoken over her. And anyone who dives to the bottom dies. Do you understand? You can't make it to her, and you can't make it out.
I glanced at Levi, a chill rippling through me. Riley and her intuition were once again going to save the day. I hoped. I think we've got it covered. We're going to go get her and then bring her to you. Got it? You two just hang on. Levi helped me get May and Tool situated as comfortably as we could. That was all I could do. There wasn't time to get all the way to North Dakota by vehicle, to get May and Tool to Doran or Louisa and the shamans. Levi followed me out of the apartment.
Liam, what if I can't?
Can't isn't in our vocabulary, understand? He swallowed hard and fell into step beside me.
I'll try.
There is no try, Levi. Do or do not. I winked at him, and he frowned a moment.
All right, Obi-Wan. There is no try. I'll do it.
It didn't matter to me that he got the reference wrong, or that I could see that he wasn't sure at all. The thing was, I knew I was going to ask more of him than anyone probably ever had, and I needed him to know I was with him. That at least one person believed in him. I'd learned that from Riley. Believe, even when you didn't, and hope to heaven and hell you can pull the win out at the last second. We stood on the edge of Kerry Park, staring into the apparently bigger-than-it-looked space. As it was, I could see all the edges from where we were, and even I had to wonder just how big it could possibly be within the wood.
Levi, I'm going to go in loud. I'm going to draw them to me, understand?
And I'm going to the pool?
Levi shucked off his jacket and rubbed his hands up and down on his arms.
You've got it in you to make it to the bottom. You can breathe water. You're an elemental.
Even if he didn't believe, I knew it to be the truth. It had to be the truth.
You need to get to Bly and tell her about May. Tell her I know who the babies are that May will raise, the ones who will lead the Ogre Nation. Understand?
Levi nodded, his young face grim.
And if I run into any ogres?
If they don't see you, hide. If they do see you, do what you have to in order to survive. Don't hesitate. No matter what you choose, make your decision quickly.
I can do that.
I put a hand on his shoulder and gave it a squeeze. I have faith in you, kid.